This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. To battle the coronavirus pandemic, many state governments are ordering residents to shelter in place, and that's creating a rift in anti-government circles. Some militia leaders are vowing to openly fight these orders. Others say obey for now, but watch for overreach. But they do agree on one thing, though. Don't touch our guns. Reporting from Idaho, Guns in America's Heath Drewson has more.
We are not okay with it. We are going to his house. We're going to go to this director of the
health. Ammon Bundy is holding court in a chilly warehouse by the railroad tracks in rural Emmett, Idaho. Right? Yes, that Ammon Bundy. He's a leading anti-government activist, and on this day, he's rallying people against the stay-at-home order Idaho issued to curb the spread of COVID-19. Among other things, he's threatening to march on the homes of Idaho Governor Brad Little and the director of the state's Department of Health and Welfare.
A guideline would be great, but an order is inappropriate, and it's absolutely unconstitutional and unauthorized.
The scene at the warehouse is like something from a pandemic safety nightmare. Dozens of people sit elbow to elbow, greeting each other with hugs, even posing for pictures with Bundy with an arm around his waist. It's also illegal, according to the emergency order issued by the governor. Bundy's involvement raises eyebrows in part because he's led two armed standoffs with federal agents. And he wouldn't rule out a similar scenario today.
I think that we have to do whatever it takes. I hope that we don't have to go to that extent.
But some in the militia movement see it differently. One of the men who took up arms to defend Bundy and his father against the federal government has broken with Bundy on the pandemic response. Eric Parker is the president of the militia group, the Real Three Percenters of Idaho. His phone line was scratchy, but he says we're in the midst of a health crisis.
We understand that this is a health crisis. We would expect everybody to act accordingly.
He's encouraging his fellow Three Percenters to follow the stay-at-home order. But he also said his members are monitoring enforcement and documenting abuses.
We believe that that's the possible flashpoint.
A possible flashpoint. What does unite anti-government movements during the pandemic is the importance of firearms.
It feels so good to be living in the American Redoubt.
That's John Jacob Schmidt speaking on Radio Free Redoubt. The American Redoubt, also pronounced Redoubt, is generally thought of by survivalists and militia groups as a region encompassing parts of Idaho, Washington, Oregon, and Montana. It's seen by them as a kind of last refuge from societal collapse. There, Schmidt says residents tend to be
preppers, heavily armed.
Todd Savage lives in North Idaho and runs Black Rifle Real Estate, which caters to preppers and followers of the Redoubt movement. He said his business is booming over the past month. And given that his company name is a nod to the AR-15 rifle, it's unsurprising that he thinks guns are essential during a pandemic.
The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. When somebody's breaking down your door because they're desperate for food, water, or medicine for their family, what are you going to do?
And followers of the Redoubt movement were galvanized by the controversial memo the Department of Homeland Security recently issued, suggesting that gun stores be deemed essential services. It was the latest in a series of overtures to the far right from the Trump administration. Alexander Barron runs a website focused on the American Redoubt.
I support President Trump wholly when he recommended to governors nationwide that things like firearms, gun stores, and shooting ranges remain as essential services for the American people during these times of need.
David Gleddy spent years infiltrating anti-government groups for the FBI. He said some anti-government groups may see the fear of COVID-19 as an opportunity.
It's a true crisis, but it's a great recruitment tool for these militias.
Gleddy said many in that mindset don't recognize the authority of any government officials past their county sheriff. That could mean the potential for violence.
They are prepared if the government does come with law enforcement and try to shut them down. That's where the red line will be.
For now, at least, no one has crossed that line. For Guns and America, I'm Heath Drewson.
And Heath is joining us on the line remotely to talk more about the story. Hey, Heath, good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you, live from my closet.
I'm live from the home office. You know, the things we never thought we'd say. As we know, I mean, on a serious note, we are in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. So why would someone purposely put people at risk like that?
Right. And first off, let me just say, you know, obviously, this is a serious health crisis, so we are not arguing against that. Stay home, wash your hands, all of that good stuff. But there are some folks who are skeptical about it, and Ammon Bundy is one of them. He's skeptical of the seriousness of the pandemic. Some of his followers at this meeting were more than skeptical and really kind of questioning the whole thing. But, you know, one of the things that he said was that it doesn't matter if this crisis kills millions of people, that he believes it's still unconstitutional to order these stay-at-home orders.
So do you think we have to worry about another Malher standoff, and maybe give a quick recap of Bundy's run-ins with the federal government if people are not familiar?
Right. So for those who are not familiar with the Bundy family, they have had two armed standoffs with the federal government, and Ammon Bundy was a leading figure in both of those. The first was in 2014 when his father, Cliven Bundy, the federal government tried to take his cattle from his Nevada ranch, and there was an armed standoff there with a lot of militiamen coming from all over the country to defend them. And then in 2016, Ammon Bundy led a takeover of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge in eastern Oregon, and that lasted for weeks. And actually, in that case, somebody, one of his followers, ended up being shot by police when he was leaving. So certainly Ammon Bundy has a following, and he has shown in the past that he is willing to take it pretty far. Now, how far he's willing to take it now, I mean, as you heard in the story, he said, whatever it takes, we hope it doesn't get there. But it's unclear, and I think a real key is going to be to see how much influence he still has in this movement and how many folks he is able to get to come out and kind of be part of this rebellion.
But it does sound like not everyone in this so-called patriot movement is on board with that type of thinking.
That's right. I think it's really split the movement. And to be fair, you know, this is not one movement. This is a movement with a lot of different parts to it. These folks kind of by definition are pretty ruggedly individualistic. So it's not like everybody's got the same ideas all the time. But yeah, there are a lot of folks in the militia movement and also in the American Redoubt movement that actually are pretty supportive of this order. And they say, yeah, this is a real health crisis, and this is the responsibility part of personal responsibility, where they're really urging members to follow the order and look out for public health. But, you know, there is, of course, a skepticism too. And they're also, you heard Eric Parker there, the head of the Real 3%ers of Idaho. You heard him saying, you know, we're keeping an eye on what the government is doing and making sure that, in his words, that they don't go overboard with their enforcement. So it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, but it sounds like they are taking, you know, a cautious approach and actually listening a bit to what's being asked of all of us.
Yeah, it's true. They are. And Eric Parker in particular, you know, took real pains to say, we see this as a real crisis. And, you know, I think part of what that is also probably protecting their image. And that's not to say he doesn't believe that or these guys don't, you know, truly believe that and want to, you know, want to take care of public health. But I think there's also a real thought of not looking like they're being extreme in a time when people are literally dying of this pandemic.
So in a weird way then, I mean, could this time of really nearly unprecedented government orders actually end up being maybe a good thing for militia movements and preppers?
Well, as you heard David Gleddy say, you know, this could be in a kind of strange way or an opportunity, because there's a lot of folks out there right now who are feeling scared and feeling unprepared. And, you know, there's a possibility that there's an opening for movements like this where people are like, hey, you know, I want to be more prepared next time. And it could be a recruitment tool. We'll have to see. We'll have to see how that works. And there's still a lot to be seen with how these guys react, because, you know, we're in it for the long haul here, and it's not going away anytime soon.
Okay, so we've heard from, you know, this movement, but how about politicians? Have there been any Idaho politicians who have weighed in, not just on the issue, but you know, critiquing the governor's stay-home order?
Yeah, there was, first of all, there was kind of a veiled criticism from his number two, Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan, early on, where she seemed to kind of question the order on her Facebook page. But more strongly, we have Representative Heather Scott, who represents a district up in North Idaho, who just issued a very long statement entitled "The Virus That Tried to Kill the Constitution." And she very clearly she's telling people basically to ignore the order. One of the things that she says is that every business in Idaho is essential. Well, that seems to kind of fly in the face of the order that is asking businesses that are not essential to shut down partially as far as people getting together at work, restaurants, bars, things like that have to be takeout and delivery only. And she seems to really be questioning a core part of that belief, and also basically says that the order in and of itself is unconstitutional.
I want to thank you for coming in and giving us a look at what some other people are thinking about this. Good to get, you know, I think every angle in there as we move through this. We've been speaking with Guns in America reporter and Boise State Public Radio reporter Heath Druzan. Thanks, Heath.
Thanks, Gemma.
Up next, how is your mental health doing? Well, we talk with a doctor to learn coping mechanisms during the coronavirus outbreak. This is Idaho Matters.